Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our literature unit today, and today we're going to be talking about an actual play. Sometimes we talk about novels, sometimes we talk about short stories, but today we're actually going to be talking about a play by the, I guess, Irish playwright George Bernard Shaw. Are you familiar with this person?
Sure, of course. He's very famous. But this play we're going to be talking about was later turned into a movie, which is very famous. I bet our listeners have heard of it. My Fair Lady with Audrey Hepburn, who is so beautiful.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about the first form this came in was actually a play that Shaw wrote. He wrote a lot of plays, actually. Seen a couple of them. One of his plays actually turned into an opera that I sang in. So he is really fascinating, and I love this particular story.
Okay, so let's get to it. In the first day, of course, we're going to summarize the play, Pygmalion. And in the second day, we'll talk about the author. And in the third day, we'll return to the play and talk about some themes and ideas. But hey, let's get going. Let's summarize the play right now.
George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion begins on a rainy night in London with a poor young woman selling flowers on the street. A few well-off people accidentally knock down and ruin some of her flowers, leading to an argument. A phonetics professor, overhearing the fight, takes note of the young woman's dreadful lower-class accent. The professor, Henry Higgins, makes a wager with Colonel Pickering,an expert in Indian dialects, and bets that he can train the flower seller to speak like a duchess in 3 months. Higgins offers his services to the flower seller, Eliza Doolittle, and she accepts, as she hopes to better her career prospects. Pickering agrees to pay for the costs of the challenge if Higgins can pass her off as a duchess. After a few months of practicing,Eliza is taken to a party at Higgins' mother's home. While Eliza's upper-class accent is flawless, she scandalizes the high society guests by discussing inappropriate topics. What's more, Mrs. Higgins scolds Higgins and Pickering for lacking the foresight to consider what will become of Eliza after the experiment is over. Sometime later, Eliza, Higgins, and Pickering return home after successfully presenting Eliza as a duchess at an ambassador's garden party. Higgins and Pickering can't stop congratulating each other, but Eliza is furious. Her transformation has left her hovering between the two worlds of low and high society. Higgins suggests that she marry a wealthy man, but she is insulted by the idea and flees.Higgins tries to convince Eliza to come back to live with him and Pickering. But determined to have her independence, Eliza bids a final farewell to Higgins.
The time has now come for us to discuss the contents of today's lesson. Again, the featured work of literature in our program is entitled...Pygmalion,and that, of course, is a play by George Bernard Shaw. Some people say George Bernard Shaw. I think both pronunciations are quite common. And again, the name of the play is Pygmalion, which I believe is a Greek myth about a god or something. No, I'm sorry. A king who made a statue of a beautiful woman, and then that statue came to life. So that's kind of similar to what's happening in our play here.Someone tries to take a crude, low-class woman, and they try to make her high class.
Yeah. Now, maybe some of our listeners aren't aware that England is very reliant, very proud of their social class system. There's a hierarchy. There are people who are part of the aristocracy, which means they've got some sort of royal blood in them. I'm actually reading some historical novels right now, and they're set in England in the 1850, 1860 period. And you could be making lots of money and be really wealthy, but if you weren't born into the aristocracy, you weren't invited to the same parties. That's why a lot of people actually immigrated to America, where we don't have these social classes, and you can actually go from being very poor to very wealthy very quickly. It doesn't matter if you were born to the right parents or if you're a duke or duchess or an earl. There's an earl and a countess. Those are parts of the aristocracy. So when we talk about these social classes, they were very, very important in England. Not so much in France. They didn't have this, and neither did the Germans. England, though, loved their aristocracy.
They did, and they still do to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I don't really see much of an aristocracy here in Taiwan. You all seem pretty much part of the same social class. The only difference is whether you're rich or poor.
The money and maybe education. Yeah.
And education, of course. But this is the take on social classes. Take on something means your interpretation or how you feel about it. So here, George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion begins on a rainy night in London with a poor young woman selling flowers on the street. Okay, this reminds me, of course, sometimes on a rainy night in Taipei when you're at a stoplight and some lady in one of those bamboo leaf hats comes up to your window and tries to sell you those kind of scented flowers or something.
Yeah.
So maybe it's something similar to that. This is a poor young woman selling flowers on the street, trying to make a little money. A few well-off people accidentally knock down and ruin some of her flowers, leading to an argument. So she's on the street there trying to sell these flowers, and some well-off people, some rich people, some high-class people are walking down the sidewalk, and they're probably not watching where they're going, and they accidentally knock down and ruin some of her flowers. And they're probably thinking, puh, big deal, we knocked down that lady's flowers. What's she going to do about it? We're rich. She is powerless to do anything about us. About what we did, but the lady probably says, hey, what you doing there? You can't do that. You can't knock down my flowers. You've got to pay for those. So they have this argument.
Yeah, and she has a really strange accent. I bet if some of our listeners were to watch some of the YouTube videos, because you can see parts of it on YouTube, they would think, wow, what is she saying? It's hard to understand some of the lower class accents in England. Even today, I'll be watching a movie or a TV show and I'll think, what are they saying? I can't understand them. So the accents can be quite strong, you could say. You've got a phonetics professor. If you are a phonetics professor, you teach fa-yin, which we call phonics for kids, right? So he helps people just have the right sounds for the vowels and the consonants. And if you overhear something, which is what happened, this phonetics professor overheard, which is the past tense, the fight. And he takes note of the young woman's dreadful lower class accent. To overhear means you accidentally hear a conversation that doesn't involve you. They're not talking to you, but you can kind of hear what they're saying. So he overhears the fight. He takes note of this woman's dreadful or horrible accent. To take note of just means to notice something. To pay special attention to something, you need to take note of what your professor says in class so that you can get a good grade on the quizzes or the tests. And dreadful, like I said, can mean horrible, awful, really bad.
Yes, dreadful. That's a word that the British like to use. Oh, it's dreadful. It's dodgy, isn't it? Stay away from that. But in any case, yes, indeed, she has this dreadful lower class accent. Oh, how vulgar. How can she go through life talking like that? So the professor, the phonetics professor, his name is Henry Higgins. He makes a wager with Colonel Pickering, who is an expert in Indian dialects, and bets that he can train the flower flower seller to speak like a duchess in 3 months. So the phonetics professor, he thinks he knows a thing or two about accents, and he bets his friend Colonel Pickering that he can change the woman's accent and turn her into a high-class duchess in only 3 months. So he makes a wager. You could say he makes a bet with the colonel here. The colonel happens to be an expert in Indian dialects. Of course, India, as you know, has many different dialects or even different languages, just like China. Although China, it's all considered one language, but my goodness, if somebody from Shandong tries to talk to somebody from Guangzhou, they're not going to understand a word that they're saying, unless they speak Putonghua, you know. But in this particular case, Pickering is an expert on Indian dialects, and he bets that he can train, excuse me, Higgins thinks that he can train the girl in just 3 months. That's their bet.
To speak like a duchess, so she would have really elegant speech. Nowadays, they all refer to that really high-class English in England as being the Queen's English. It's very proper, it's quite beautiful, but it sounds a little bit stuffy or snobby. So that's the bet. He's going to really train Eliza to speak like a duchess in 3 months. And Higgins offers his services to the flower seller. Her full name is Eliza Doolittle, which is kind of a fun name. She accepts it because she really wants to improve her career prospects. Your prospects are the possibilities that you have out there. Maybe you have some romantic prospects in your life. Maybe you're kind of flirting with a couple of guys you haven't decided who you really want to go for. Those prospects are just possibilities. If you sound classy and you act classy, you'll probably be able to get a better job.
Indeed. So she plays along. Yes, I'll accept this training. It could probably do my career some good. And Pickering agrees to pay for the costs of the challenge if Higgins can pass her off as a duchess. So I guess this particular training course that Eliza is going to take will cost some money. But Pickering says, well, I'll pay for it. I'll pick up the check if she can pass off as a duchess. So to pass someone off as means you present something in a way in which it isn't, okay? You could maybe take a 1,000 NT dollar bill and pass it off as real,
yeah,
when in fact it is counterfeit or it's fake. So in this particular case, yes, she's not really a duchess. She's not really high class, but they're going to pass her off as a duchess. They're going to make her look like she's a duchess.
Right. So if your English is excellent and you have a great accent, you sound like a native speaker, you might be able to pass yourself off as an American or a Canadian, depending on how good your accent is. Right now, guys, we're going to listen for a few minutes to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是哈利。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 15 文学单元的第一天课程。今天要阅读的文学作品是 George Bernard Shaw 的作品 Pygmalion， 中文翻译为麦花女。这部作品曾被翻拍成一部很有名的电影 My Fair Lady， 中文叫做窈窕淑女，女主角是奥黛丽·赫本。首先我们看到文章的标题 Pygmalion's Take on Social Class Through Speech， 标题中的 take 不是动词而是名词，Somebody's take on something 就是指 somebody's attitude or opinion about a situation， 也就是某人对某事的态度或看法。例如 What's your take on the death penalty？ 你对死刑的看法为何？另外 take 当名词也有电影或电视拍摄的镜头画面的意思。 It took the director 20 takes to get this scene right，导演拍了20次才将这场景拍好。全文的第一句 George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion begins on a rainy night in London with a poor young woman selling flowers on the street。 萧伯纳的麦花女从一名贫穷的年轻女子在雨夜的伦敦街上卖花开始。介系词 with 有随着有的意思，用来表示一种附带的状态，其后接一个名词，然后接 ving 表示主动， vpp 表示被动，或接一个形容词。例如 Elliot was crying hard with tears rolling down his cheeks， 艾略特正在痛哭，眼泪从他的脸颊流下。眼泪从脸颊流下是主动语态，所以动词 roll 变成 ving rolling。我们再举一个例子 ：Peter looked angry with his arms folded across his chest。彼得看起来很生气，他的手臂交叉在胸前。手臂是被交叉在胸前，是被动语态，所以动词 fold 变成 VPP folded。我们再看一个例句 ：Kevin stood staring at me with his eyes wide open。凯文站着瞪着我，他的眼睛张得大大的。要注意的是，本句的 open 不是动词，是形容词，所以不做任何改变，不会变成 opening 或 opened。我们接着看到第一段的倒数第二句。这一句里有一个名词 prospect， 有几个常见的意思。第一个是前景，横用复数表示，例如 After getting a promotion, my colleague felt her career prospects were brightening。 我的同事在被升迁后觉得自己的事业前景看好。第二个意思是可能性，例如 After diagnosing Paul with a serious disease,The doctor told him that there was little prospect of recovery. 在诊断保罗有严重疾病后，医生告诉保罗他康复的可能性很小。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We shall now continue with our lesson. So to summarize so far, we've got Eliza Doolittle, a poor London woman trying to sell flowers on the street. Someone knocks into her. They have an argument, and the argument is overheard by the phonetics professor, Mr. Higgins there, and he has a bet with his friend Colonel Pickering that he can make her sound like a duchess. So it's I guess it's a play all about phonetics and speech therapy and stuff like that, which, you know, probably has something to do with our program here. Of course, all of you are learning English, trying to improve your pronunciation. But we would never call your accent dreadful, okay? That's extremely rude of us. You are learners of a foreign language. You're expected to have an accent. There's nothing to be ashamed there. In fact, most of us foreigners here think the Taiwanese have a lovely accent in English. Don't be ashamed of that. Although, I guess they kind of hate our Chinese accent, but that's another topic. But let's continue with the lesson in the next paragraph here. It says, after a few months of practicing, Eliza is taken to a party at Higgins' mother's home. Okay, so Eliza is receiving training in phonetics now. She's trying to speak the Queen's English as opposed to the dreadful Cockney that she speaks on the streets of London. So she's been practicing for a couple of months, and then she's taken to a party. I guess they're going to try to pass her off as a duchess.
Now, while Eliza's upper-class accent is flawless, meaning no errors, if you have something that you're describing as being flawless, it's perfect. Maybe you have flawless skin, or maybe the report you wrote and turned in got an A-plus because it was flawless, it had no errors. Her accent is being described as flawless. It's perfect. You can't hear any of her old Cockney accent at all. Even though this is true, she scandalizes the high society guests by discussing inappropriate topics. So I guess she brings up things that she's used to talking about with her Cockney friends, but that shouldn't be talked about at really high-class parties. What's more, Mrs. Higgins scolds Higgins, her son, and Pickering, his friend, for lacking the foresight to consider what will become of Eliza after their dumb experiment is over. You know, they brought her into another society, a different class, a social class. And now she's kind of doesn't fit into the lower class that she grew up in. So the mother is actually quite wise to have thought about that. If you scold somebody, you You kind of ma ta men. That's the easiest thing to say. Scold, you kind of, tell them what they've done wrong, and you get after them. A lot of parents will scold their children. Usually, as an adult, you aren't scolded. It's a word we use more with kids. But because Higgins has done something so inappropriate and selfish, he didn't really think about Eliza at all. He's doing this challenge to amuse himself. He doesn't care about this girl. But his mother does, and that's why she scolds him as if he's still a 7-year-old boy.
And he's a professor. He's only concerned about phonetics. He probably didn't think at all about the content of her speech and how she should behave at a high-class party. So he did not take that into consideration. Or perhaps he did, but he didn't care. He didn't care about this low-class woman. He thought it was probably funny. Look, she's talking about subjects that are not supposed to be discussed, and she's getting in trouble. Isn't that great? It's wonderful. Aren't I cool?
Yeah.
So, yes, he did not have that foresight to consider what would become of Eliza after the experiment is over. He's only concerned about winning the bet. And once the bet is over, he's going to forget that Eliza ever existed. Now, moving on to the next paragraph here. Sometime later, Eliza, Higgins, and Pickering return home after successfully presenting Eliza as a duchess at an ambassador's garden party. So they went to some other kind of party, a garden party. I think in England they refer to a yard as a garden. In America, if you have a space with grass in front of your house or in back of your house, that is a yard. But in England, they'll call that a garden, whether it has grass or plants or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is an outdoor party, a garden party. And it's an ambassador's garden party. An ambassador is just a representative of another country. Of course, here in Taiwan, there are diplomatic relations with a handful of countries.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have diplomatic relations with another country, then you exchange ambassadors.
That's right. So there they are at that garden party, which is kind of interesting. And she does successfully pass herself off as a duchess. Every time I think of this play, I always imagine, of course, Audrey Hepburn in the role, and she's so beautiful. I would think she's a duchess too. She was very, very elegant. Well, Higgins and Pickering can't stop congratulating each other, but Eliza is furious. If you congratulate somebody, you say, oh, hey, great job. I heard you just got a promotion. Good for you. Remember, when you use this word congratulation, which is the noun form, you always have to put an S on it. I've seen people sometimes leave the S off, like congratulation. No. It's always plural. Here, we're using the verb form of that word, congratulate, to congratulate somebody. But Eliza doesn't really appreciate their congratulations. She's furious or very, very angry. Her transformation has left her hovering between the two worlds of low and high society. If you are transforming yourself, you can talk about it in the noun form by saying transformation. You're changing yourself completely. So she really is a completely different girl. If you see her at the beginning, she's got dirt on her face. She has that Cockney accent. She's still pretty, let's be honest. But the transformation has put her in very elegant clothing. She sounds like a queen. But now she's hovering between two worlds. Remember, she no longer can feel comfortable with her low-class friends. They think she's kind of putting on airs, is what we say, acting like you're a bigger deal. You're more important than you really are. Putting on airs. A-I-R-S. Hovering just means to kind of remain in one place, but you're not moving. A lot of times you'll see hummingbirds. They're that really tiny bird that has fast wings. They can hover in the air where they're not flying and moving, but they're just hanging in the air. That's hovering.
Or those drone cameras kind of hover in the air.
Mm.
They float in the air. Helicopters also hover in the air. So she's kind of floating between these two worlds, as you said. She'll probably never really be accepted by high society. And then the low society thinks she's being kind of snobby. So Higgins suggests that she marry a wealthy man, but she is insulted by the idea and flees. Yes, why don't you just marry a wealthy man? Well, if you were a woman in her position, You would probably feel insulted by that. And Higgins tries to convince Eliza to come back to live with him in Pickering. But determined to have her independence, Eliza bids a final farewell to Higgins. And where she goes, we don't really know. She probably goes back to the world that she's safe in. But who knows? In the end, now she has acquired some great skills of speech. Maybe she can apply for some jobs and improve her career prospects. Who knows? But in any case, that's a summary of our featured play for today. Let's wrap things up now by listening to our Chinese teacher once again.
我们接下来看到第二段的最后一句有一个动词 scold。scold 是责骂的意思。若要表示责骂某人做了某事，我们可以说 scold somebody for doing something。例如 ,David's father scolded him for talking back to his mother。大卫的爸爸责怪他跟妈妈顶嘴。scold 的名词为 scolding,scolding。Give somebody a scolding 就是责骂某人的意思，而 get a scolding from somebody 就是被某人责骂的意思。例如 ,Knowing that his son cheated on the exam, Jeff decided to give him a good scolding. 杰夫知道他儿子考试作弊后，决定狠狠斥责他一顿。我们最后看到全文的倒数第二句 ,Higgins suggests that she marry a wealthy man.But she is insulted by the idea and flees. 希金斯建议她和一个有钱的男人结婚，但她却被这个点子侮辱并逃跑了。不知道大家有没有注意到动词 suggest 所接的 that 子句里有一个动词 marry， 此动词搭配的主词是第三人称单数 she， 却没有变成 marries。这是因为 suggest 表建议的意思时，所接的 that 子句要用主词加 should 加原形动词， should 可以省略，也就是 that 子句里的动词都用原形动词，所以这句的 marry 前省略了 should。 我们再举一个例子， The doctor suggested that the patient should come another day， 医生建议这位病人改天再来。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
That's it for today's plot summary of this particular play. When you next hear from us, we're going to be talking about the author himself, the playwright, George Bernard Shaw, and we'll learn more about his life. He was an interesting fellow, to be sure. But we're really glad you joined us. We hope you'll come back again real soon. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Farewell.
Bye.